when we were born into this world, we had no knowledge, right? And so we picked up a little bit here and a little bit. We went to school and we were born into a home. And some of the things we picked up were okay and some of them were not so okay. And some things we need to learn, some things we need to unlearn and relearn. And the book of Proverbs is an amazing book of just concentrated wisdom about so much of the affairs of life. It looks at relationships, our sex life, marriage, how we handle our money, business. How do you lead people? How do you run a country? And there's all these instructions that we get in the book of Proverbs. Now, kind of every human being on the planet Earth wants life to work in some way. And so what we've done over the years is we've kind of invented philosophies of how life works and what are we supposed to do with life. And so you look at the Hindu idea of karma, and that if you send out good energy and good vibrations, that then you'll get some good karma back. Well, how many of that's not in the Bible? But people believe that, and so then they act like that, all right? On this continent, people believed that, you know, that your grandfather is in a place that he can help you, ancestral worship, or your grandfather is somewhere and he can make life trouble for you. So we don't speak evil of the dead, we keep our ancestors happy because they can influence our life. Now, people believe that, they do things, but how do you know that's not in the Bible? Your grandfather is in heaven or hell, and he's doing nothing about your life. And in heaven, he might be cheering you on, but he doesn't come to visit you in the night. Oh, but Pastor, I had a dream. Well, I know you had a dream, but that wasn't your grandfather. Okay, the Bible's very clear. There is a gulf fixed between us and them. We can't go there, and they don't come here. Oh, but I had experience. Okay, but I've got a black book that says the Holy Bible. Amen? And this is the source of truth. You know, some people, and a billion people in the world that follow Islam, they believe that everything that happens in life, if it happened, it was the will of Allah. And so they say Allah has willed it. Isn't it funny that a lot of Christians believe the same thing that Muslims believe? If they have a car wreck, oh, I guess God's teaching me. That was the will of God. Well, no, you might have just had a tire that went out. God didn't cause your car wreck. It was the Corolla that caused your car wreck, or the minibus behind you. On the way to church today, this guy missed another vehicle by centimeters. That wasn't God's will. It was just a foolish driver. Amen? So how does life work? And how does it work well? Well, there's so many answers that we can get in Proverbs. And one of the things that we see in Proverbs is that God created a cause and effect world. That is, you do this, and then this happens. And so in the book of Proverbs, there's kind of three categories of people. God calls wise people, and wise people are people that listen to God, and they look to him, and they act on what he says, and man, there are some really cool things that happen in their life. We're going to look at that. So you do this, and then these awesome things happen. And then there are people that are called fools or foolish. And I know for some that's a strong word, but God used it, so I think we can use it, right? Now, don't call your wife a fool, but, right? But Job did, right? You talk like a foolish woman. But if you act like a fool and you make these foolish decisions, well, here's going to be the consequence of those foolish decisions. And then there's a third group of people in Proverbs that are called evil people. And evil people, you just go hire a lawyer. And you run from them. You avoid them, all right? And so you do this, and this happens. Let's look just real, real quick. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. I encourage you, bring your Bible to church, amen? Otherwise, I might preach from the book of imaginations, and you wouldn't know it, okay? And honestly, today, you need to know your Bible more than ever before. There is so much nonsense in the Christian world out there. and what's being spouted as truth. You need to see the Bible and know the Bible for yourself. But look at this, cause and effect. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine produces mockers. Alcohol leads to brawls. Now, probably all of us have seen that, right? Those who led astray by drink cannot be wise. Look at verse 4. Those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. Verse 13. If you love sleep, you will end in poverty. Now, I'm preaching to the first service, so man, you should be amening. You got here and you're here for 8 o'clock and you don't love sleep. If you keep your eyes open, there will be plenty to eat. Look at Proverbs 21, verse 5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. It is not the prophet's oil and water that lead to prosperity. It's good planning and hard work. And chances are, if you're not experiencing prosperity, then go look at your work and your planning. Oh, but Pastor, I don't want to hear that. I want you just decree. Just decree it, Pastor. I don't have that power. And neither does a major nor minor prophet have that power. We go to the book of Proverbs and we discover, wait a second, God's got a million and one things to say about my money. And if I figure out what he says and I do them, I'm going to get the results that he said I would get. Amen. But hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Proverbs 21:13. Those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor, they will be ignored in their time of need. All right, so we've got wisdom of what to do. So over and over again, the book of Proverbs, we see that God says, all right, here is how life works. Now, I would rather go to God to understand how life works than Confucius or Buddha or Muhammad, because none of those guys are the author of life. God created marriage. Who better for me to understand about marriage than God? Amen. I mean, I sometimes enjoy watching Oprah, but Oprah's not married. So what is she going to tell me about marriage? No, God's going to tell me about marriage because he created them male and female. He designed this whole thing. So I'm going to go to him as the designer of everything to figure out how life works. And so we're going to take some time to go and to look at different subjects from the book of Proverbs. But today, really I want to look in the first three or four chapters, because the first three or four chapters of Proverbs, it kind of doesn't really get into the nitty-gritty. It is basically an instruction and a plea from God, listen to wisdom. If you listen to wisdom, here's what's going to happen. If you ignore it, here's what's going to happen. And so before we even start, God takes a lot of time up front to say, please, please, hearken your ear to what I say. Now, a lot of the things that are in Proverbs, you can discover the hard way, right? You know, if you co-sign for a loan, Proverbs talks two or three times that that is really dumb. How many of you have, by experience, discovered that's really dumb? Anybody courageous enough to lift your hand up? Come on, all right. Did anyone discover that that is an awesome, smart thing to do and it leads to prosperity? You didn't, did you? You discovered, oh, wow, God is right. But see, here's the thing. Life is too short for us to figure it out ourselves. We shouldn't just be figuring it out by multiple choice and hit and miss. No, before we even start, we go to God. Because I don't want to figure out life when I'm 85 years old. I only have a couple more years to live. And so one of the things is talking to us before we start and before we do things, that we don't have to go through the pain and the consequences of bad decisions. Because here's the thing, while you can learn from bad decisions, many of our bad decisions have consequences that can't be reversed. You did marriage really foolishly, and the marriage dissolved and it's divorced. And while you've received forgiveness from God and now you're smart, how many of you know that doesn't magically make your marriage come back? You're still divorced. And that's a very sad consequence, right? You realize, man, I did my money really dumb, and I lost my business and I lost the house. And now I'm walking in wisdom, but guess what? The house is still gone. And so God doesn't want us to have to go through these consequences in order to teach us. We can learn from his feet, and we can learn from his word. Amen? So a lot of Proverbs, again, is godly common sense. Godly common sense. I think it was Alan Spiegel that said one time, is that unfortunately common sense is not too common anymore, right? And especially, I love being charismatic. I love being Pentecostal. I'm so glad for the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God, the healing power of God, speaking in tongues. But sometimes it seems as when we're Pentecostal, then we just throw out wisdom because we're just going to get it anointed. Hallelujah. And we don't need to have any brains. We'll just, hallelujah, just grease it up with oil and we'll go down the road. Well, there was a story of a man who, you know, when you go to the butcher, you usually see the meat that you can choose from, right? And so there was a man, and what he did is he would give brain transplants, all right? And so you could go to the store and you could get a new brain. Okay, this is a joke, just in case you're wondering, all right? And so you would go up to the counter and you'd look at the brain, and, you know, because some of our brains are not working too well, and a few of you've worked your brain so hard, you know, it's kind of worn out. And so this guy was going to the brain store, and he was looking at these brains, and these were people who had passed away. And so he had these brains under a counter, and he said, well, man, that one doesn't look too good. That really looks kind of worn out. He said, yeah, that was a Baptist. I took it. He died, and boy, he really used it very, very well. And then there was another brain. You could hardly recognize it. I mean, it was just almost deteriorated. It said, yeah, that's an Anglican's brain. And boy, I really shouldn't even sell it to you because I think they just used all of it. And then he came to the next, he said, man, look at that brain. He said, that, and it was pink, and it was beautiful. And he said, did you take that out of a baby? He said, no, I took it out of a 70-year-old Pentecostal. He says, I don't think it's been used once. Yeah. Yeah, and some of us went over to, you know, Romans chapter 12, and we thought that we're transformed by the removing of our mind. No, God wants to renew your mind. And he wants to give you wisdom for your relationships and your money and your marriage and how to do life. Amen. But one of the things we're going to see very clearly is wisdom does not come as an automatic download. I cannot impart wisdom. I can't take off my jacket and whoosh, wisdom, whoosh, wisdom. No, 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 no. What you're going to see is individually, we have to seek for it. We have to hunger for it. Now, God is a giver, and James says when you ask for it, he will give you liberally. He'll give you too much, but you've got to ask. And if you don't ask, you're going to end up in the column in Proverbs where it talks about foolish people. But boy, I do not want to be in that column because I've made foolish decisions in life, and they are painful. And as you get older, they're not just painful for you, they're painful for other people. And God has a mandate on this church to lead and to influence and to be a light. And many of you lead in different realms of life. And so that means you got to get really smart because your decisions affect multiple people. And so we need his wisdom. All right? So let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to look at a few sections here and see these instructions and these admonitions from the Lord. Proverbs 1, verse 1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose All right, so there's a purpose, right? It's not to entertain you. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. Don't we need a little bit more of that? To help them to understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. To help them to do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. All right? So the byproduct of this, and this is over and over again in Proverbs, is that there is going to be success. Things are going to work out when you do them God's way. All right? To do what is right, what is just, and what is fair. Now, I think we should say that that is as God defines it. Because sometimes here on planet Earth, we say, well, okay, this is right. Well, no. The Bible also tells us that the way of man is right in his own eyes. But it's not necessarily right in God's eyes. So we have to go to him to what is real righteousness, justice, and fairness. All right, now look at verse 4. It says, it gives insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. So what that means is if you're simple or young or both, and how many of you know young is not always just chronologically? Okay, it has the idea of inexperience, all right? And you just haven't figured it out yet. And so you might be 55 years old, but you are young in business because you've never done that before, okay? You might be 40 years old and you just got married, and you're probably going to even have a harder time getting married because you've been single for a long time and you don't share your tea and your towels. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. A lot of people that get married later in life and they have a lot of adjustments to make. All right. So if I don't have something, that means I have to go get it somewhere else. All right. And one of the things that we see from the Bible is you and I are not self-sufficient. Okay. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. That means he is all-powerful, all-knowing. Tell your neighbor, you are omni-nothing. Okay? So when it comes to obtaining wisdom, we've got to go to the source of wisdom, and that is God, the all-knowing one. All right? Let's keep reading in Proverbs 1:5. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Okay, so I know 90% of you, you're already wise. You're already smart. Thank you for that. Amen. I believe that. But here's the thing. Guess what? If you're wise, you can get wiser. You can get smarter. And so, and maybe there's some awesome things working out in your life because you've been following the principles of God, but you can get even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, a lot of people that study the Bible and comment on the Bible, they feel that verse 7 is kind of the key verse of the whole book of Proverbs, is that it all begins with the fear of the Lord. Now, again, fools are contrasted in that they do the opposite. They despise God's wisdom. They despise his knowledge. Now, the Message Bible says it this way. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. The first step of learning, I thought it was at the university. The universities are good. They can be good. But the first step of learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. Now, when we hear that phrase, the fear of the Lord, it's important to remember that that was a phrase that we saw a lot in the Old Covenant. When Jesus brought that phrase from Deuteronomy, and it was written in Deuteronomy saying, fear the Lord, all right? Jesus translated it and interpreted it in the light of the New Covenant as worship the Lord. There is a reverence for God. I like the way the Message Bible puts it, that you bow down to God. Now, worship also has the idea that you are aware that God is God, that he is who he says he is, all right? Remember in Romans chapter 1, it talks about a certain group of people that they did not worship God, but they worshiped creation instead of the creator. They didn't recognize him for who he was, and so they ignored him. And so the beginning of all wisdom is to say, hey, God, you are good, and you love me, and you created me, and everything that I need to know about life is found in you. And I go to you for every answer. Now here's the thing, is that we go to God and God's systems, because he made his body, he made godly people, and that wisdom is what we'll find. It's made, sometimes we find it in counselors, sometimes we find it in moms and dads, sometimes we find it in inside of people. But many times Christians, what they do is they go to God either as an afterthought, right? Go to my uncle, my rich friend, the bank manager, and then I'll come up at the end of church and now I'm desperate. I've tried everything and now I'm coming to God. No, that's not how life works. We go to God in the beginning and in the end, all right? But then sometimes what people do is that they're looking to God and they're trying to apply wisdom, but they say, oh, this isn't working. It's like one of our neighboring countries, one of the large Pentecostal denominations there, they were having an election for a new bishop. This is a true story. And there were three guys on the ballot, and one of the groups went to the Sangoma, went to the witch doctor to get Muti so that their guy could win in a Pentecostal denomination. And they believe in speaking in tongues and the virgin birth, and they believe in witchcraft. No. See, the fear of the Lord says, God, I worship you and only you I worship. Right? No other gods before him. No other gods. Your way is the only way. It is the right way. All right? So that's where it all begins. And when we understand the character of God, we also understand that all of his wisdom is there for our good. It is to bring us to the intended end that he has for our life. And aren't you glad he's a good God? Because he said he is, and he has displayed himself. Now, so doing it God's way brings God's results. Foolishness and arrogance says, I'll do it my way. I am smarter than God. My grandfather's smarter than God. This other guy that wrote a book other than God's book, he's smarter than God. No, that's foolishness, all right? So the other thing we have to realize is that we will not find God's wisdom by accident, because the world is pretty much ignoring God's ways by and large. And so how many of you know that any dead fish can float down the Zambezi River? It takes no life, but it takes some strength to go upstream, to go where it wants. And so we are going to be going against the current of this world many times when we go with God's ways. I was just having a conversation yesterday with a young person, and we were talking about sexual purity and strategies for that, and we were talking about some things like that, and he made this comment to me. He said, it's even more difficult there at university. It's even more difficult because everyone I'm around doesn't see it this way. Everyone thinks it's okay to sleep with your girlfriend. So what does that mean? We have to go upstream. We go against the natural flow of what's around us. Amen? So let's keep reading in Proverbs chapter 1. So what happens in the first few chapters of Proverbs is that wisdom is identified or personified as a woman. Okay? Isn't that interesting? That God chose to personify wisdom in a woman. Sheesh, man, women, I'm not going to give you another chance to amen and shout. No, you missed your chance. Sorry. All right. Proverbs 1:20, wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in the front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish in your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. Now, did you hear in verse 23? Who is wisdom talking to? Only the people who are listening. Only the people who are tuned in. Only the people who are saying, hey, I know you're shouting, but here, talk to me. I'm listening. Those are the people that are becoming wise. Although she is shouting and God is giving wisdom, there's so many people, and unfortunately many Christians, that just walk right by wisdom. Pastor William and I have had this kind of conversation for the 10 and a half years we've been together at this church. And, you know, a church member will do something and we'll say, but we just preached on that. We just gave God's word about that, and then they didn't do it. Well, you see, just because wisdom is crying doesn't mean you're going to get it. Doesn't mean you're going to incorporate it into your life. Amen? Have a conversation with her. Oh, she'll bless you. She'll help you. Let's keep reading verse 24. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, when anguish and distress overwhelm you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. Where does wisdom begin? With the fear of the Lord, with recognizing him for who he is. All right? Now, isn't it interesting, these things that are listed here? Calamity, disaster, anguish, distress. Oh, the devil's attacking me. Oh, I tell you, it's that lady at my job. She wants my job, and she's after me. I tell you, I'm just breaking her power. I'm breaking those bad prayers. Whoa. All of this calamity, disaster, in this context, it was the result of ignoring wisdom. It was the result of saying, no, thank you. I'm really smarter than God, and I'm just going to do my marriage this way. Thank you, though. I'm going to do it my way. God, you know, I know you said all that thing about money, but hey, I am 45 years old and I am so smart about money. I mean, God, you've seen me. I'm on the cover of Forbes Africa, right? That's me, right? And so I'm just going to do it without you. That's what happens. And so when all this stuff happens, it comes from ignoring God's ways. They chose to ignore God. Notice it wasn't God's choosing. It was their choosing. Amen. Verse 30, they rejected my advice. They paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. One of the things that you'll see in Proverbs, and it's so sad, is that fools do not learn from wisdom, they learn from consequences. So please don't be a fool. Don't be what this first chapter is talking about. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. Now, you know, we're empty nesters now. We've got a lot of life ahead of us. 47, 48, we're not yet over the hill, but we're almost at the hill, right? But as I look back on my life, and I look about stuff that decisions that I regretted, decisions that did not bring me to God's destination or his plan. So many of those decisions that I made were made in the absence of wisdom, in the absence of seeing things from God's way. Now, I didn't have it, but I also didn't go get what I needed to make the decision properly. Amen? And so let's get God's way. Look at verse 33, because here's kind of where it turns, and then it carries on into the next chapter, into chapter 2. Proverbs 1:33. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by the fear of harm. Peace, untroubled. That sounds like a better life, doesn't it? Than calamity and disaster and bitter fruit and schemes and you're choking. I don't want that life. No, let's listen to wisdom. All right, so Proverbs chapter 2. Now, I'm going to read four verses, but I want you to listen for the verbs in those verses. Now, you remember back in English class, right? What is a verb? It's a doing word. It's an action word, okay? Now, so I want you to hear for the verbs, the action words, but I also want you to notice who is acting, right? Because you got the subject and the verb, right? So who's the one acting? Is it God? Is it the pastor? Is it the TV guy doing all this stuff for you to make your life magically wonderful? Who's doing all these wonderful things? All right? My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commandments. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Did you hear the action words, the verbs? Listen, treasure, tune your ears, concentrate, cry out, ask, search, seek. Now, who's doing that? Who's doing that? The person that put on your shoes this morning. Everybody say, that's me. Tell your neighbor, that's my job. One of the most important things in the whole Bible is to understand what's God's job, what's my job. Because you cannot do God's job, and he will not do your job, right? So God has all this wisdom available. He's crying out. There are all so many sources of it today. But what do? We look for it, all right? Now, how many even know that there are certain things that we experience, some of the goodness of God we experience in this life is simply from waking up. You remember Jesus said, God makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And so there's a whole lot of blessing that the sinner and the fool will receive in this lifetime. I like what Roy Hicks, the head of Foursquare, said, that the earth is the only heaven that a sinner will ever experience. Because God is here. It was created by God. Hell is it's the absence of God. God is not there. All right? And so there are certain things, wonderful things that happen to us automatically. Obtaining wisdom is not one of those things. You don't wake up and you're smarter. Well, time heals all wounds. No, it doesn't. That's not in the Bible. How many of you know a wound that you don't treat, you die from? Okay? And so wisdom, there's these things we listen. I love the phrase, tune your ear. Tune your ear. Whenever I'm in a different city and I'm traveling, I always turn on the radio and I boop, 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 go through the stations. What is it? And then finally, what do? You tune into one that you like. All right? And how many of you know there's a whole lot of Christians that are listening to the wrong radio station? Now, I'm not talking about the ones in Lusaka, all right? But what is their heart tuned into? Greed, insecurity, unforgiveness, bitterness, vengeance. That's what their heart is tuned into. No. God says, tune into my wisdom. Tune into who I am. Tune into what I'm saying, and I'll help you. Amen? Now, notice here, I think it's in verse 4, all right? It says, search for them, all right, these treasures, this understanding that God had. Search for them as you would for silver. Now, how many of you realize that God blessed Zambia immensely with copper deposits, right? Isn't that cool? How many of you have ever woken up in the morning and you go outside and there's copper manna sprinkled on your, and you just pick it up and you take it and you're rich? Well, I thought God gave copper. He blessed us with copper. Yeah, but he put it under the ground. And who gets it? Who gets it? I'm not talking about windfall tax or those things, but who gets the copper? The people who dig it. And the people who don't. Right? So God put it there. It is there for us, but we have to go access it. We have to find it. Now, how many of you know it's kind of messy to dig, isn't it? All right, and you kind of need to know where to look, and you need to know what's going on. But it's there. It came from God. All right? The Bible's very clear. He put the gold in the hills, but then it's up for us to access what belongs to us. All right? So God is wisdom, and God has granted wisdom, but we need to listen, treasure, tune in, concentrate, cry out, ask, search, and seek. Now, here's what happens when we do. Look at verse 5. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. So how many of you want knowledge of God? I do. I want to do life better, okay? But how many of you realize that verse 5 comes after 1 through 4? So you've got to be doing all those action words in order for verse 5 to come to pass, all right? To have that heart that is cultivated. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Wow, what a blessing, isn't it? What wonderful repercussions happen in our life and what he has in store for us. Let's look. There's some more payoffs here. In verse 9, it says, then you will understand what is right, just, and fair. And you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. These are all outcomes. These are all byproducts. All right. And again, unfortunately, I feel like sometimes in our Pentecostal circles, you know, the right way, joy, safety, we want the zap of it. You know, I'm going to the impartation meeting. To get it. No, those are byproducts. Those are results of doing something. And so if I want the results, then I'm going to go to the first part to find out, well, how do they come to pass? Well, they come to pass by seeking wisdom, by looking for this, by receiving it in your heart. Amen? We'll find the right way to go. Joy in our heart. Safety around us. How many of you know many times safety comes as a result of good decisions? All right? So these are outcomes. These are what will happen when we listen and when we tune our heart to God's ways and to his wisdom. Now, these are contrasted then in the next passage with people who don't do that. All right? These are people who ignore God's ways and listen to the life and listen to the results that are happening to them. Proverbs 2:12. Wisdom will save you from evil people. From those whose words are twisted. Some of you, there's some pictures of people's faces that are coming to light right now. I hope that your face didn't come to somebody else's imagination when we read that. Verse 13, these men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong. They enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. Okay, so it's talking about evil people and that they actually delight in going the wrong way. And so there's two groups of people in this passage. So one of them is this person called an evil person. And then another person is called the immoral woman. All right, so woman, God bless you, you got personified in wisdom, but then you got personified in the immoral woman. Mm-hmm. All right. Verse 16, wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. Now, who saves you from the immoral woman? I plead the blood of Jesus. I have a force field around me. I'm praying for my husband that the women who are after him will do a somersault and get tuberculosis and die. No. You, wives, you can't protect your husband from the immoral woman. He's got to have wisdom inside of him to protect himself from the immoral woman. And ladies, you know, be pretty and be nice and cook good food, but all of the nice hairstyles and makeup and food will not impart wisdom to your husband. He's got to have that on the inside of him. My sexual purity is not my wife's responsibility. What does the Bible say? Flee fornication. Flee who? You flee. She doesn't have powers over my feet. She can't move my neck. She can't. What goes into my heart, that's my job. Amen. Now, she makes it real easy for me to be faithful to her. But there's a lot of wonderful women who have been godly and loving whose husbands are cheaters. And it's not their fault. And while we're here, it's not the other woman's fault either. Wisdom saves you from the immoral woman. I get confused when adultery happens and the wife goes and wants to beat up the girl. No, beat up your husband. Yeah. That 25-year-old girl that he met in a bar didn't make a promise to you. Your husband made a promise to you before God and before the preacher. You and you only until death do us part. He broke the promise. She didn't. It's misplaced anger. Okay? But wisdom will keep you from that day. Wisdom will keep you from ever having to face that moment. All right, wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. It is the road to the grave. The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the paths of life. Now, notice the phrases. Enters her house. Visits her. It doesn't say anything about sex, does it? Christians who mess up sexually rarely wake up on a Tuesday morning and think, this weekend, I'm going to cheat on my wife, I'm going to ruin my name, I'm going to run up a debt, I'm going to have two kids out of wedlock, I'm going to end up in the paper. They rarely do that. You know what they do? They're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You're in the pub at 23 hours. Nothing good happens at the pub at 23 hours. Nothing. No godly things are happening. Get out. Don't even go there. Remove your foot from her house. Coming weeks, we'll see about the guy. He's just wandering around town, and he's wandering near the corner of that woman. Well, if you know she's on the corner, don't go to that corner. Yeah. Don't touch, don't go, don't look. Just, there's no other admonition in the Bible about sexual purity other than Run. Run. Physically move. Physically move.
Well, praise the Lord, I'm anointed and I'm a man of God.
There was a guy in South Africa. Nobody in Zambia would be this stupid, but there was a guy, a preacher in South Africa.
He said, I'm so anointed. If a naked woman walked by me, I wouldn't even look at her.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Huh? No, you don't go to her house. You don't listen to her words. You change your phone number if she texts you. Huh? She texts you something a little bit funny. You fire something back. So listen, I'm showing this to my wife. You get out of my life. I never want to hear. But I don't want to hurt her feelings. No, hurt her feelings. Crush them. Demolish them. Smash them to pieces. Ruin her feelings. Amen. All right, so what happens is God says, all right, here. If you listen to me, man, this is the life you're going to get. If you don't, here's what's going to happen. Now, there's more payoff. There's more positive here. Look at Proverbs 3:13. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you a long life in her right hand, and riches and honor are in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. Happy are those. Happy, happy, happy. Now, so again, it's finding, it's discovering. So we're going to take some time in church to look at different parts of Proverbs and what God is saying to us. But if you really read all of Proverbs 1 through 4, you'll see that it's simply an admonition. Listen, listen to me. Tune in. Hear what I have to say. All right? And I believe that God is saying this is because for hundreds and hundreds of years, a lot of people don't listen. Amen? But let's not be among that crowd. Now, I want to give you some homework. And here's something, I've mentioned it to you from time to time, but especially during this time we're going to look at Proverbs. In the morning, every morning. So on September the 1st, read Proverbs chapter 1. September the 2nd, read Proverbs chapter 2. My wife and I do that. We'd invite you to just join us for the month of September, okay? And you'll be amazed at what God will give you. And I like what Ed Cole says. Read Proverbs in the morning for wisdom because you're going to need it throughout your day. And it'll give you a perspective and it'll give you his insight. Amen? So let's pray today. Father, we thank you so much that you love us and that you're a father and you raise us like your children because we are. And so, Lord, because we don't have the experience and the knowledge that you do, you have it available for us. And so, Father, may we sit at your feet. May we listen only to you. And may our hearts be inclined to your ways. And, Father, where life is not working, and, Lord, for many of us in this auditorium, there are certain areas of our life where there's frustration, where it seems like what you have is not what we're experiencing. Father, thank you today that we incline our ear to you. You have answers and you have wisdom. And so we look and we open up our heart to you. We ask and we seek. And thank you, Jesus, that you said, you promised, whoever seeks, we find. And Father, thank you that, Lord, as we read your word individually every morning, Father, as we come to church, and Lord, we chew on it in connection groups, Father, thank you, Father, that the entrance of your word brings light. Light for us to walk. Light for us to share with others. We thank you and we praise you today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know God, I want you to know he loves you and he cares for you. What you've heard from his word today, it's a life that he has for you. But it all begins with him. It all begins by having a relationship with him. And having a relationship with God only comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. It doesn't come by attending a church or going to a class. It doesn't come through being baptized. It comes through a personal decision to say, Jesus, I receive you. I believe the work that you did for me at Calvary. You died in my place. You were raised from the dead. And I trust in what you did for my life and for my eternity. The Bible says that He stands at the door of every man's heart and He knocks. If you don't know Him today, He's knocking. And He said, will you let me in? And what He has for you is good. He has forgiveness. He has a new way of life. And to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. Maybe you're here today and you realize, you know, Pastor, I realize that, boy, I have made so many foolish decisions. It's really a lifestyle, and I've ignored God. And I've really, in a sense, I've turned away from Him. And it's not just about making some better decisions, but it's about saying, Jesus, I come back to you personally. I'm not going to ignore you in my life anymore. And maybe there was a time in your life where you walked with Him, but through some decisions and bad choices, you walked away. The good news of the Bible is you can come home. You can turn. And Jesus told so many people, repent. And it simply means to come back, turn around. And God is reaching out to you today to invite you to come home. Come home to His home, His family, His ways. Right now, I believe that God is dealing with your heart. And if you've never made this decision for Jesus Christ, or you realize, I need to come back to Him. If that's you, wherever you are in this auditorium, today is your day. It's the day of new beginnings, and it's your decision. And I want to pray with you, and so that I'll know who you are so we can pray together. Just simply lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand and wave it at me. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm receiving Jesus Christ today. I'm making a decision for Him to receive Him as my personal Lord and Savior. Over here, God bless you. Thank you. What a great decision. Over here in the middle, yes, yes, yes. Over here, yes. Who else? Doesn't matter how far you've run. Doesn't matter where you are today. The Bible says He saves to the uttermost. If that's you, raise up your hand. We want to pray with you today. He loves you and He cares for you. Amen. Well, let's all stand to our feet, everybody in the auditorium. We'd ask you just to honor what the Lord is doing in these who have made decisions. And let's just stay until we're dismissed. If you lifted up your hand and you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to do what I said. I want to pray with you. So would you just grab your Bible, your belongings, your handbag. Just come and meet me up front. I want to just shake your hand and look you in the eye and pray with you and watch you come into the kingdom of God. Let's give these folks a big, big hand as they're coming over here from here. He is a good, good God. A good God. He loves us. Amen. Sometimes in these situations, you didn't lift up your hand, but you realize I should have. If that's you, just come. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful. God bless you, sir. God bless you. He loves you. He loves you. Amen. Now, I've got a Bible here that's mine, but if I wanted to give it to you as a gift, right, you would just reach out and receive it. And so what God has for you is a free gift, salvation, forgiveness. He paid for it, but we receive that by faith. And so I'd ask you right now, just lift up one of your hands towards heaven. Let's just lift it up towards God, and really as a sign of our heart, we're looking to Him. And let's close our eyes and let's pray this prayer together. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe that You love me. You care for me. You sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. You raised Him from the dead so that I could know You. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Come into my life. I live for You now. I turn away from every wrong thing, from every sin. Thank You, Jesus. I love You today. Amen and amen.